recognized early on?
Yes.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It is good to see each and every one of you, including my noisy son. But first, let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you that we live in a place where we can worship you freely, where we can be in a nice warm building. And I just ask that you be with me and with all of us here. I just ask that you give us wisdom and understanding and guidance. We love you so much, Lord, and we thank you for loving us so much that you sent your son to die for us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Our reading this morning is from Judges chapter 7. But before we go there, let's go back just a little bit to Judges chapter 6 so we can get some context. The Israelites did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord gave them into the hands of Midian 7 years. The hand of Midian prevailed over Israel. And because of Midian, the Israelites provided for themselves hiding places in the mountains, caves, and strongholds. For whatever the Israelites put in seed, the Midianites and Amalekites, the people of the east, would come up against them. They would encamp against them and destroy the produce of the land, as far as the neighborhood of Gaza, and leave no sustenance for Israel, and no sheep or ox or donkey. For they and their livestock would come up, and they would even bring their tents as thick as locusts. Neither they nor their camels could be counted. So they wasted the land as they came in. Thus Israel was greatly impoverished because of Midian. And the Israelites cried out to the Lord for help. Anyone who is familiar with the Old Testament knows this cycle with Israel. God would bless them greatly, they would get comfortable, and they would turn from God. And most of us are familiar with that cycle in our own lives. Every time things start going our way, if our focus is not on God, we begin to falter. We make mistakes because we're not focused. Our minds are not where they should be. And so Israel, once again, began to turn from God. And so they were given to the Midians. The Midians were people who primarily roamed the northwest corner of the Arabian Desert. Israel had had run-ins with the Midians before when they were roaming in the desert. But now, thanks to their own hand, Israel had once again lost their lands. The Bible states that the Midians were so thick they were like locusts, and they would devour everything in their path. But remember that the enemy did not win. Israel had faltered, and so God handed them to the Midians. The enemy can never defeat God, but God will sometimes hand us to our enemy when we fail, so that we may praise him. And finally, after 7 years, Israel cried out. They were finally ready to repent. And then God sent them, in about the year 1200 BC, the prophet Gideon. As we read through the rest of chapter 6, we hear the story of how God called Gideon and how he was a fairly reluctant leader. This is the story where Gideon tested God. And he said, if you really want me to do this, I'm going to put some wool out on the ground. And in the morning, if the wool is wet and the ground is dry, then I will know that you are calling me. And so the next morning he woke up and he was able to wring an entire bowl full of water out of that wool. But Gideon, in his typical reluctance, said, well, maybe that was a coincidence. So tomorrow morning, let the wool be dry and the ground be wet. And what do you know? That is exactly what happened. So our reluctant hero began to assemble an army. And he did. Now we go to chapter 7, 1 through 3. Then Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, and all the troops that were with him rose early and encamped beside the spring of Herod, and the camp of Midian was north of them, below the hill of Morah in the valley. The Lord said to Gideon, the troops with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into your hand. Israel would only take credit away from me, saying, my own hand has delivered me. Now, therefore, proclaim this in the hearing of the troops. Whoever is fearful and trembling, let him return home. Thus Gideon sifted them out. 22,000 returned, and 10,000 remained. As the chapter begins, we read about Gideon's plan. He wants to take 32,000 troops and drive the Midianites out of Israel. As far as plans go, not a bad one. But God wants a different kind of victory with this battle. He wants one that gives him the full attention of anyone who hears the story. Many times when we make plans, we think about how do we get the glory for us. We want the praise for how good we did building something, or how good our mission is going. But I am here to tell you that whatever we plan, we need to make sure we give God the glory. Glory to man is useless. It does not matter what you accomplish in life, how fancy your car is, how many people know your name. Even things like generosity and humility are pointless if we are not giving glory to God. Because at the end of the day, the most famous generous atheist is still going to hell. Better to give $5 in God's name than millions given in the name of man. God wants the glory because he loves us. All of us, he wants us to give glory to him because when we give glory to God, we are pointing other people towards him. Remember to build that into your plans. How can I use whatever I am doing to glorify God? We all have talents. God gave them to us for a reason. So let's use them. I'm not just talking about plans inside the church. Every day, most of us interact with somebody outside of this building. So, it is important that we use our talents wherever we go and in whatever we do. Getting back to Judges, we read in verses 4 through 8, "Then the Lord said to Gideon, 'The troops are still too many. Take them down to the water, and I will sift them out for you. When I say, this one shall go with you, he shall go with you. When I say, this one shall not go with you, he shall not go.' So he brought the troops down to the water. And the Lord said to Gideon, 'All those who lap the water with their tongues, as a dog laps, you shall put to one side. All those who kneel down to drink, putting their hands to their mouths, you shall put to the other side.' The number of those who lapped was 300, but all the rest of the troops knelt down to drink water. Then the Lord said to Gideon, 'With the 300 that lapped, I will deliver you and give the Midianites into your hand. Let all others go to their homes.' So he took the jars, of the troops from their hands and their trumpets, and he sent all the rest of Israel back to their own tents, but retained the 300. The camp of Midian was below him in the valley." We read in these verses that God has altered Gideon's plan even further. Have you ever felt that way in your own life? You have all your plans laid out perfectly. Every piece fits together like a puzzle. And then, boom, your plan falls completely apart. Anyone who's ever worked with livestock knows that it only takes one cow with a scheme to ruin your entire day. Whatever plans you set out to do that morning, you might not get to do by that evening. It says in Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21, "The human mind may devise many plans, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will be established." God's plans are not like our own. We make plans all day, and many of them don't come to pass. We can take hope in the fact that God does have a plan for us. But, much like Gideon, we don't always understand or even like what God is asking us to do. Gideon was probably fairly nervous when he had 32,000 soldiers at his disposal. Now God has narrowed it down to 300. The Bible says that Midianites had more tents and camels than could be counted. And now Gideon was going to have to drive them out with 300 men. That's the thing about God's plan. It's not always easy. In fact, it almost never is. God does not call us to be comfortable. He calls us to be faithful. And He will be faithful to us. But He wants us to be ready for the coming battle in our lives, because we know there will be. God loves us. He cares so much for us that He sent His Son to die in our place. We had a taste of our plans falling apart just about 2 weeks ago. we got some fairly scary news about Kathy. The numbers in her blood were shooting up, sky high. And so our plans, our thoughts were altered. We weren't sure what we were going to do next. We just had to be faithful. And as the 2 weeks slowly ticked by until our next appointment, we were all getting more and more nervous every day, single day, spending more and more time in prayer. Because it's nothing like a time like that when you really have to put your face here. You've got to start reading. You've got to get your knees worn out from praying. And what did we find at this appointment, after all this struggle and all this worry? That her tumor had shrunk by 10%. The reason that the blood count was so high was because the chemo is shredding the cancer. And so there's extra markers in her blood. So those times when we are at our darkest, we don't know what God has around the corner. I'm sure as Gideon was sitting there with 300 men, not that many more than what is sitting here, and they were about to face an army of countless thousands of Midianites and camels, people who were ready to fight. You can only imagine what that fear was like. But we know that not only was the chemo working, and this is a thing we talked about a little bit this morning, those prayers are working. Everyone here praying regularly. People were praying all across the country. Now, we're not out of the woods yet, but it is working. We are blessed. And so another thing I would like to do here while I'm up here is to say thank you. Thank you to this congregation. Thank you for all your hard work. Thank you for your prayers. Tough times bring us closer to God, but not only us, also the people who care for us. All of us here spent a little extra time praying for Kathy. I know I did. So that's an extra 5 minutes a day, at least, that we spent talking to God. Many people who don't typically pray will start praying if it's someone they love. So as we go through hard times, we need to remember that God sometimes uses that, even that simple way, even that just extra 5 minutes we spend with Him can brighten our outlook, can give us a better day. As we turn back to Gideon, we see he's getting ready to narrow his soldiers once again, because this is what the Lord has commanded. As I read this story growing up, I always asked myself, what soldier would I be? Would I be called, or would I be left? I don't think I ever lapped water out of my hand like a dog. But I wonder, was that a test, or did God inspire certain soldiers in the moment to drink their water that way? Did He say, you are ready, and so now here is your moment? I spent a lot of time thinking about this story as I was growing up. But I think the thing that I missed, and I think the thing that we overlook, is there was also 22,000 soldiers who went home. Instead of worrying about whether we would be called in this moment or not, we need to make sure that we are there. that we don't go home. Those are the soldiers we want to avoid becoming. We have to make sure we are vigilant and ready to fit into God's plan. How many times in life are we too scared or too busy? We get caught up in our own little plans to a point we forget about the plan that God has had since the beginning of time. We all have a part to play in God's army, but sometimes we have to seek it out. We have to nurture our talents. Paul says in the first letter to the Corinthians in chapter 16, "Keep alert, stand firm in your faith, be courageous, be strong, let all you do be done in love." So we need to be prepared to go when God calls us. When I first started dating my wife, it didn't take very long, and I knew exactly what I needed to do. I needed to marry her. But we don't always get those clear signs. Sometimes we just need to take those first couple steps. Those 300 soldiers who went down to the water amongst 10,000 probably had no idea that they would be called to be in a historic battle against an insurmountable foe, or that their story would be recorded in the most important book ever written. But what are the rest of those 10,000? It does not say they were punished, even if they were not among the 300. I would go so far as to say that they were probably blessed for at least being there. They were willing. It's a time to know when something as simple as getting a drink can put you on a path towards a victory in your life. If you are blessed with a talent, God is calling you to use it. These things don't always have to be something grand, like building a church in Africa or healing the sick. It's more often than not little things, like a conversation with a coworker, or even a stranger or a friend. Helping someone downtrodden, as long as we remember to give God the glory. What I am encouraging us to do is to get started. Get moving. Our time on earth is short, and God has much for you to do. As we continue in chapter 7, verses 9 through 16. That same night, the Lord said to him, Gideon, "Get up, attack the camp, for I have given it unto your hand. But if you fear to attack, go down to the camp with your servant Purah, and you shall hear what they say. And afterwards your hands shall be strengthened to attack the camp." Then he went down with his servant Purah to the camp. The Midianites and Amalekites and the people of the east lay along the valley, as thick as locusts, and their camels were without number, countless as the sand on the seashore. When Gideon arrived, there was a man telling a dream to his comrade, and he said, I had a dream, and in it, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the camp of Midian, and came to the tent and struck it, so that it fell. It turned upside down, and the tent collapsed. And his comrade answered, "This is no other than the sword of Gideon, son of Joash, a man of Israel. Into his hand God has given Midian and all the army." When Gideon heard telling of this dream and its interpretation, he worshipped, and he returned to the camp of Israel and said, "Get up, for the Lord has given the army of Midian into your hands." Here we read an interesting story. The men who were dreaming, the man who had a dream, was an enemy. He was not an Israelite. He was someone from outside. But he had a dream, and someone was able to interpret that dream who was also not an Israelite. The enemy knows that we cannot be defeated if we have God behind us. The enemy is aware. We need to make sure that we stand strong. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, it says, "And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." So, my challenge for all of us this week is to go down to the water and see what wonderful things God has planned for us. Let's take this to the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful day. I thank you for my church family. I thank you for the healing that you've done in not only my family, but in